Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal, Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week here on DBS Network, we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs, mostly, and paranormal. And I hope you enjoyed our show last week. We had a very interesting guest. His name is David Paulides. And he has been doing research on Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, up in Northern California. And has been doing this actually for many, many years. He's the executive director of the North America Bigfoot Search. If you look that up on the web, you can learn more about it. Or if you go to the PBS archives, you can listen to the show itself, which I think you'll find very interesting. He's quite knowledgeable, and I have to tell you, I learned a few things about Bigfoot that I didn't know. So I hope you get a chance to listen to it. And tonight, we are very, very honored and lucky to have a guest on the show who is going to talk about UFOs. UFOs are, of course, my favorite subject, and I've written a number of books about UFOs. And our guest tonight has also written two books, very interesting books, in fact. One is called Stranded on Earth, the story of a Roswell crash survivor. And the second one is called Zeti Child, lost upon a one-star world. These are true autobiographical accounts written by a person named Commander Sani Sato. And what's really interesting about our guest tonight is that Commander Sani actually has recalled memories of being on board the Roswell crash, or being involved in that whole incident, past life memories. And this is a true story and very, very interesting, and I think Commander Sani has some very interesting information to impart to you all tonight, and so I'm very, very excited to have her on the show. Written two books, Stranded on Earth and Zeti Child. Commander Sani, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
You are very welcome, and I may add that those two books are available through EarthStarPublications.com, which also produces an excellent magazine called The Star Beacon, in case you are interested.
Okay, EarthStar.com, you called it? Okay, well, very, very interesting. Now, you're a ufologist, you're an artist, doll maker, nature lover, an entomologist, meteorologist. I mean, you've been busy doing a lot of things. So how did this, your memories come of this whole Roswell UFO incident?
When I was about four, lightning hit our front porch, and I was sitting only a few feet away. And when the lightning hit, I started having these movies inside of my head, of images of me seated at the cockpit of an aircraft, and we were all dressed in the same uniforms and stuff. But the aircraft, I will correct, was not a disc-shaped, it was a delta wing.
Right.
And it's like flashbacks. The only way I can describe them is like a movie projector showing movies inside of your head, and they were real movie-like images. The lightning must have triggered something, because I've been having them ever since.
Well, isn't that interesting, because supposedly the Roswell crash was caused by lightning, so maybe somehow that triggered the memory of something that's already happened to you before.
There were three ships that were involved, and they were all connected. They all shared a force field. And my job was to maintain the defenses plus the force field that surrounded my vessel plus the other two. When I took my eyes away from my console, which is similar to your modern computer monitors, the contact with the force field was lost and the force field broke. So the ships did not have no force field protecting them, and that is partly what led to the crash. Plus, they were using an experimental radar system that they got from the bases back in the East Coast and that also in combination with the electrical discharge of the storm is what brought the vessels down.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I have heard that there was a connection there with the radar interfering with the navigation of the ships.
That was a brand new experimental radar that they were testing. It was not yet completely operational. It was being tested.
Oh, I see. So you recalled this whole incident, I mean, in great detail, this whole lifetime?
Yes. I've had millions of flashbacks.
Oh, how interesting. So what happened then with the Roswell incident that we haven't heard in, you know, from other witnesses and another book?
I can remember I was ejected from the vehicle, and I laid there a light cycle and a dark cycle, and they came and found us, and they took us to the facility there in that area, and then they took us back east where our ships and everything was reverse engineered. The other two ships that went down, they were disc. And one went down in the desert, and the other one traveled on where it hit an area which has an observatory located right now. All the technology from the crash was reverse engineered in a short amount of time, which is why your technology advanced from 1947 onwards.
Now, what happened to you after the crash?
Oh, I survived a month in your time, and they kept me in a base, and I was interrogated. Even though I was badly wounded and injured, they kept me strapped to this table. My whole side was burned. And to this day, I have a cellular memory, though my side hurts me every time around this time of a year.
Wow. Oh, sorry, it's July right now. How interesting.
And also I may add that I'm connected to lightning because I was hit by lightning when I was a teenager in this incarnation.
Huh. Wow. So after what they questioned you, what happened next?
Please repeat the question.
After you were ejected from the ship and taken back east and strapped to a table, and they questioned you?
They put me inside a special building that was in a military base. This was in the eastern USA. I survived 1 month of your time, and during that time I met your leader at that time. And he wanted to know if we were going to invade. And I said, no, we're just scientists. We came here to observe your nuclear testing. Because at that time, your nation was detonating atomic weapons under your big waters and in your land. And that not only posed a threat to the nations on your world, but the radiation traveled outwards into space and affected planets and galaxies beyond this Earth.
So that's why they were coming in such large numbers. 1947, there was such a very, very large wave of craft and the UFOs.
I will add one thing. Ufology is not new because your planet Earth has been visited long before you had cellular life on this planet, before you even had dinosaurs and ice ages. Your planet was under observation long before even humans were created on this world. So it's not a new thing that in 1947 you had all these ships coming because your Earth has been visited beyond what you call prehistoric times.
Right, right. I'm sure that you're right. I mean, there's lots of evidence of that as well in terms of cave art all across the world, and carvings and statues that have, and all sorts of stories in all different cultures. So, yeah, I'm certain that you're right. But I'm just wondering, this wave in 1947, it was, you said it was sparked by our use of atomic weapons?
Yeah, it's like this. Your Earth was like a child given a loaded gun. The child doesn't understand how the gun works, and it can be dangerous if it's mishandled. And the same applies to the atom. It can be very dangerous, and it can destroy all life on this planet if it's in the hands of a civilization that doesn't know its abilities and its powers and what it can do if it's misused.
Right.
And that is what led to large amounts of ships coming here, because they were all interested in what you were doing to the planet.
Now, what about UFO abductions and things like that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I want to clarify something about abductions. Number one, it is not the greys that are behind abductions. It is reptoids that shapeshift to appear as greys because they hate the greys and they want the Earth for themselves. So they abduct humans, shapeshifted into the form of greys, so humans will hate the greys. The greys are the ones who are protecting the Earth. The reptoids, who are the draconians and other species, want to own the Earth and control it because it used to be their home eons ago before they left and settled in the draconian sector. So it's not really greys abducting humans. It is reptoids that have shape-shifted to assume the form of a grey. And some of the abductions are military.
Right, right. Wow. Well, it's very, very interesting, because there's many people who I've spoken with who said that they have had encounters with the greys which were very benevolent and not scary. So,
and also, I will add one other thing. These so-called abductions with the greys, the humans, before they came to us, to assume a human form that came from the Pleiades and other star clusters, they agreed to help the greys prolong their existence, which in the long run would prolong the human's existence. They agreed to these so-called abductions, which are really not abductions. They agreed for the benefit of both species to create hybrids that would populate the Earth after the Earth changes occurred and the Earth goes through her cleansing, because they needed to develop a better species that would have the traits of both species.
All right. So what exactly is a hybrid then?
A hybrid is the offspring of two different species of either plant or animal. And they combine the traits of both parents.
Okay.
And a hybrid, so, by the way, is not a car that's made to run on alternate fuel sources. A hybrid is a cross between two different species of animals, or plant, or what have you.
Why would the greys want to create hybrids between them and humans?
Because the human's DNA needs to be improved, and the grey's DNA needs to be improved. And I will also add that greys are not offshoots of some reptoid species. Greys are insects or insectoids. They are social insects like the bees and wasps and ants and termites that you have on Earth. And they are also related to the mantis, which is the common praying mantis that you have on Earth, but they're much larger.
Right.
The hybrid program is to improve the genetics of both species, because once this Earth goes through its cleansings and stuff and merges with the Andromeda Galaxy in your year 2012, a lot of the humans that are currently here will not be able to adapt to the changes in the energies and frequencies, and a lot of them will either die off or be killed off. So hybrids will be sent here to repeople the planet, and the planet will be, its slate will be cleaned, and things will start all over.
So this is, you expect these sort of things to happen in 2012?
They will start occurring in 2012. It will not be completed until a few decades after that, but there's going to be a lot of changes, physical to the planet and external to the planet, that will occur.
Well, can you go into more detail about, you know, that the Earth changes and what sort of things might happen?
There's going to be a lot that's going to occur. When your solar system starts to merge with the Andromeda Galaxy, there's going to be new energies being brought forth onto the planet. And the planet herself is going to be changing internally and externally. But I will say that since the year 2000, the time on this planet has speeded up rapidly, meaning changes are occurring. The weather will be more crazier than it is, but some of that is due to the chemtrail activity that the militaries are doing. But there could be a shift in the energy. Not only will the weather be changing, but the energies in the planet and the people will be changing. There will be the dark forces and the light forces will have to come together and fight. You already have lots of wars and stuff on your Earth right now.
Right.
A lot of the people on Earth will not be able to adapt to the merging of the two galaxies because it will interfere with the energy that they vibrate on. Those that are warlike will become more warlike. Those that are peaceful will try to be more peaceful. Those that are of the light will flourish during that time. And those of the darkness will have to fight a final war. Also, during that time, there will be an asteroid that will narrowly miss your planet, which your people refer to as Wormwood.
Okay, and what happens with that?
It will narrowly miss your planet. But I will say that asteroid was not randomly sent. It's not going to be randomly sent here. The reptoids will be projecting it here. You
okay.
See, the reptoids have technology where they can make a planet or a moon or an asteroid. They can make it into a ship by putting a reactor in it. And they can set it on a trajectory where they want it to go. It will serve as a way to make the people of Earth aware that something big is going to happen if they don't change their consciousness. You see, the Earth is a living planet. It is alive.
Right. So there's going to be, society is going to change very extensively then, is what you're saying.
It has to change in order to survive.
Right, well, I totally agree, and things can't go on the way they are. That's for sure. So, what can you tell us about Zeta Reticuli in your home world?
We call it Serpo Jeteri. J-A-D-U-I. Serpo Jeteri. It is a binary system that has two stars or suns instead of one like Earth has. There's approximately over 500 inhabited worlds in this sector, which is about 39 to 40 light years away from your solar system, and it is not visible from your skies here in USA. The civilizations that live there are all insectoid, and they are far older than the civilization on Earth, which is very young and primitive. The people there are mostly scientists and explorers, just like your astronauts as scientists and explorers for your people. But we have evolved beyond what the Earth is. Your Earth is rated on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as its development, and Earth would be a level 3. Well, the people in the reticulum would be a level 9 to 10.
Interesting. So how many different types of species are out there on all these inhabited planets?
There's approximately close to 40 different species of grays. And they are not green the way Hollywood depicts them. Just like on Earth, there is biodiversity on other worlds. It's like here, you have like hundreds of different species of butterflies. And you have species on Earth that haven't even been identified and named yet. That's the same way that's out there. Biodiversity is just not found on Earth. It is universal and multiversal because there's more than one universe.
Are there humans on other planets? Human beings?
Yes, like... in the Pleiades. The humans of Earth were brought to Earth or created on Earth by the Pleiadians. You, the humans, are descended from the Pleiadian people. They are your cousins.
Okay. So how old do grays live to be?
That all depends on the caste system. If you're of the Kagush, which is the ruling class, who are the Mantid people, they can live up to 1,000 years. The Kebs, which is the gray people, live up to 980 years.
Wow. Why are we humans so short-lived compared to
because of all the chemicals in your environment and the genetic flaws in your DNA that lead to illnesses and diseases and birth defects, and the foods that you eat and the water that you drink, it's your environment, the pollution, the toxins. And also, on Earth, much of the human's DNA had been altered or tampered with by the reptoids, who took out a lot of the Pleiadian DNA, which was strong, and replaced it by genetic splicing with reptoid DNA to make what was left to be inferior. That's why a lot of the people on Earth are so aggressive, is because they have a lot of reptoid DNA in them. So that also plays a factor into why they are the way they are. They're destructive. They destroy the planet. They pollute your food, your water, your air. That all plays a factor as to why your lifespan is not the way it used to be before the reptoids altered your DNA.
Oh, interesting. So do the reptoids live on Earth right now?
You have reptoids all over your planet, but they are assuming human form. You see, they shape-shift.
I see. Is there any way to tell when someone is disguised as a reptoid but looks human? Is there any way we can tell?
Mostly on an energy level. Most reptoids that are here on Earth are passing for human. They're into violence. They like war. They like to fight. They love to control others. They love to hurt others. An example of that would be like a serial killer. People that are into crime and stuff like that, those are mostly reptoids. People that want to fight wars all the time and kill innocents and destroy animals. Those are reptoid traits. A lot of the leaders on your planet are currently reptoids that are in human form.
You anticipated my question there. I was just about to say I'm concerned that the people who, you know, are causing all the wars on our planet, a lot of the leaders are reptoids, but I see you've already said that. Let me see, what can you tell me about your mission here on Earth?
My mission on Earth is to be a teacher and an awakener of hybrids and star seeds who are on the Earth right now but do not know who they really are or what their purpose is or where they came from. I'm mostly an educator. I help teach people about things like this. I try to awaken those who are dormant as to what's going on around them so they can become more active and care about the living things on Earth and to care about each other. And I do that through my art and my teaching. I have a column in the Star Beacon called Commander Starbase Ask ET, where readers send questions and I answer them.
Very interesting. Well, I'm glad that you're out there getting this information out there. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and tonight our guest is Commander Sani Sato, who has written two books about her experiences as a survivor of the Roswell UFO crash. The books are Stranded on Earth, the story of a Roswell crash survivor, and Zeti Child, Lost Upon a One-Star World. Both are true autobiographical accounts and are available. I have the website right here. It's earthstar.tripod.com. So if you want to learn more about the books, that would be the place to go after the show. And I want to remind you all that this is a call-in show. So if any of you out there listening have a question for our guest, or if you'd like to share your own story, we would love to hear from you. I'll give out the number right now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat it one more time, so get a pen. 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Commander, another question I have is about the praying mantis type ETs. I've spoken with several people who have had encounters with them and say that they're very, very tall. One gentleman told me the praying mantis ETs he encountered were almost 15 feet tall, and he said that they were very, very intelligent, and he had a very long, benevolent encounter with them. And I just wonder what you can tell our listeners about the praying mantis type ETs.
The praying mantis, or the who are really the Kagush, are teachers and spiritual guides. They help evolve the person's soul of those they interact with. They're like mentors. Their purpose is to guide and to help and to teach and to make the person grow inside as a being of light. For you all are beings of light inside. And mantis play the role of teacher or guide. They help you awaken the gifts you have inside of you so that you can use your gifts to help others. They're helpers, and they are also the caretakers of Earth. In the hierarchy, the praying mantis, or the Kagush, is the ruling class. That would be anonymous to the queens and kings in a hive of ants or bees, as we are social creatures.
So do the greys and the praying mantis types live on the same worlds, or do they have separate worlds?
We all live on the same world, because the praying mantis is the most evolved of the greys. They are grey themselves, but they are the most evolved.
Oh, I see.
And they are called the Kagush. And they are mostly teachers and spiritual guides.
How long do they live and how big do they get?
They live about 1,000 of your years, and they can get up to about 15 foot tall.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Although they come in many sizes, but that's about the limit. And the praying mantis is my favorite insect.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
I've had many experiences with mantises myself.
Now, do you have any information about ET bases here on Earth or in our oceans?
Your Earth, especially in the USA, has countless underground bases, though most of these bases are in the mountains and are underneath the deserts of the western USA. These bases are jointly operated by ETs and the military. We have one not far from here that is military, where they are keeping several countless graves as prisoner. I prefer not to give out the name of the location. But these bases are all interlinked by a series of tunnel systems that are underground, linking the western bases with the bases in the eastern United States. And also, under your oceans or your waters, you have bases that are linked from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. There is underground tunnels, transit systems that link the west to the east. Most of these bases are reptoid and military operated. Some of them are operated by the Greys and the Pleiadians.
Interesting. You know, right off the coast of California, there's an extraordinary amount of underwater UFO activity. Is there a base somewhere near that area that you know of?
That is mostly a Pleiadian base, meaning your cousins who are humans from the Pleiades operate that underwater facility. It is mostly for research, because what your people have been doing to the oceans have been destroying the aquatic life there and killing the waters. But they are also there because they are connected with the base in the Antarctic, and they are monitoring the effects of the global warming and your chemtrail use, and that your waters and your ice is melting too fast over the North Pole area, meaning that if something's not done, California will be mostly underwater, as well the eastern USA. That base is Pleiadian, and they are benevolent because they are related to you.
Right. So do you expect the polar ice caps will melt in Florida and California, and as you said, other places are going to be underwater? And when would you expect
that?
They're
already melting rapidly. Icebergs are melting way too fast, and that affects the animals that live in the Arctic. And it affects the weather and everything else on Earth. The global warming, as they call it, must be terminated. And you don't terminate it by spraying chemtrails all over the skies and creating aerosol bombs that spread out in the huge, sharp-edged clouds that block out the sun. Because in a way, that traps the heat and makes it hotter. It doesn't reverse it, it intensifies it. The climate on this earth has been destroyed.
So when do you suppose that these floods and tsunamis and disasters will happen?
A lot of them will continue to happen. As far as that tsunami, that was artificially created. And the hurricanes that you had a while back, those are artificially created because of geoengineering, which is weather manipulating, changing the weather and the climate by spraying these chemtrails that everybody says is so innocent. Well, they're not innocent. What man does to the climate, the earth as a living being will notice what's going on and will react with sending storms and stuff. Because when man hurts the earth notices and she reacts.
Sure. What can the average person do to protect themselves and to help the earth through these difficult times?
You can try living green, recycling, acknowledging that the earth is alive and that the animals and plants are alive. Try to be aware of what's going on around you. Try to conserve the environment. Try not to pollute. Try to educate people what's going on in the world around them, because most people have a veil over their eyes that blocks them from knowing things.
Right. So, do you think the UFOs are going to announce themselves officially? I mean, because
the only time that will really ever occur is if the people of Earth end their wars. And not only end their wars, but end prejudice and oppression of people in other nations on your world and end all wars. People must look at each other as your brother and sister and live in peace instead of killing each other. And another thing, they must undo the programming that they have been taught for ages and ages, that things don't exist that are out in space. They have to be deprogrammed of what their culture has taught them, that Earth is the only place that has life. When the humans can do those things, then the people from the skies will come and announce themselves to your planet. But until they do that, humans are just going to have to keep guessing. And by the way, Earth is being watched all the time as to your progress or lack of.
Interesting. Do we have a caller? Caller, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I have a question, Preston. Great show. Listening to your guests, very fascinating of the levels of intelligences of species, and talking primarily of the praying mantis, are they associated with higher light beings that are at a higher realm of pure energy?
The praying mantis is an organic being, but yes, on a soul level, they are connected to the beings of light who come from the Pleiades and other levels that are beyond the Earth's frequency.
Are the beings of light here now, or more coming?
More will be coming onto the Earth as the changes start to intensify. And yes, there are light beings on Earth right now.
Could some also be part human, too?
A lot of them are in human form, but on the soul level, they are pure blue energy.
Very interesting. Thank you.
They are mostly Pleiadian in origin.
Very interesting. Well, thank you for calling. You said the ETs are probably not going to show themselves until we stop polluting our planet and fighting wars and things like this? Do you suppose, I mean, what are the chances of that happening with humanity?
You see, if Earth continues to go the way it's going, the planet might exist, but the humans will exterminate themselves, like mass genocide through wars and conflicts. Wars and conflicts is not the way you solve problems on any planet. That would lead to your species extinction, and the Earth has been watched ever since it started to evolve, and every generation on the planet seems to de-evolve instead of moving forward and evolving and growing. I mean, when I was on this Earth, when I was young, you didn't have all the violence you have in schools and stuff like you have now. I mean, every generation on Earth is getting worse and worse than the previous one. And the ETs are watching us to see if it's going to evolve or if it's going to continue to de-evolve.
Will they step in if we have a nuclear war? Will some people be saved, or will they allow
those, those that have an implant or a hybrid or star seeds, they will be saved. But ETs are not just going to come here and just step right in and save yourselves from a war that you started with some other nation or some other country. Because in outer space, we observe. We don't intervene unless it threatens the planet itself.
Right.
A lot of planets are only observed. They're not permitted to intervene in the affairs of what you do to your planet or your people.
What do the implants that are in people's bodies, what do they do? What is their purpose?
Implants are used to monitor biochemical things in the body. They're used to, it's like when you go out and you tranquilize a bear or a mountain lion, you put a microchip in it or a collar on it so your scientists can track it and study it. That's the same with what an implant does. Implants have a coded number in them, and they're like microchips. They're used to track and to study your body. They're also used as your eyes. ETs can see through your eyes by the implants that they put in you.
Oh, okay.
They're monitoring devices mostly. And some implants are a transponder where they download information to the person who has the implant.
Okay. Do you have any idea about how many UFO craft our government has captured or shot down, and how many ETs they have captured?
In the USA or worldwide?
USA and worldwide.
USA, there's approximately about 50-some crafts that have been captured by being shot down or forced down or forced to land. And as far as ETs that are being held captive, I'd say there's several million. Most are held against their will, used to give you the technology that you have today.
Well, I had no idea there were that many. That's terrible.
It is horrible. I mean, ETs don't even have the right to have what you call a Geneva Convention, where you have, like, wars here and human rights are violated on prisoners of war. At least the humans have the decency to have their rights be protected, but ETs are tortured and interrogated and killed. They don't have no rights. And most of them are being kept against their will.
And there's no way for other ETs to rescue them? I mean, they have superior technology, the Greys?
Our people have been trying to rescue some of our people, but we have a lot more to take out.
So is Area 51 then one of the areas where this is going on?
Area 51, I got to see Area 51. I got within a mile of Area 51. That is a huge base.
It
and
is.
A lot of my people are being kept there against their will to create advanced aircraft for your military.
Wow. Now, you wrote that you're often in contact with your Zeta father, whom you call Kinyeo. Can you tell us about
him? Oh, his name is Kinyeo.
Kinyeo.
Yes, I'm in contact with my father quite a bit.
Can you tell us about him?
He is a commander like I am. And he is based in one of the mountain ranges not far from me. His base is responsible for some of the sightings of triangles and stuff. He is like my overseer, or my guide or protector.
Okay. Have you been inside any of the E.T. craft in this incarnation?
Yes, many times. I fly ships. Until recently, I was even working in the underground base here, which I prefer not to give out the location.
Okay.
They've been testing a new type of aircraft over this way that, on a clear blue sky, if you were to look up and see it, it would be a little bit darker than the blue sky around it.
Oh, so it's hard to see. It's kind of camouflaged?
Yes, yeah, so and when it lands, it's like a delta wing or a triangle. And when you look at it straight on, it's transparent. But when you walk around the sides of it, it's a solid steel color or metal color.
Interesting. Now, I've heard several people and UFO witnesses and government people, for that matter, tell me that a lot of the UFOs that people see are our own, is the government flying them around.
The government created them by reverse engineering captured craft and sealing their secrets to create their own using the technologies and materials that they have available.
Okay.
The only difference, I will say, is the reverse engineered craft, the pilots have to use seat belts because they don't know how to do the anti-gravity thing. Well, on the real thing, they don't have seat belts because the pilots already know about anti-gravity and antimatter.
Oh, interesting. Very, very interesting. What can you tell us about UFO activity on our moon, on Earth's moon? There's been a lot of reports.
First of all, your moon is not really a satellite. Your moon was brought here by the Pleiadians, and it is really an artificial spacecraft or sphere. It is camouflaged to resemble a minor satellite or moon, but it is used as a lifeboat in case something dramatic was to happen to the planet. A certain select would be rescued and would go aboard this spacecraft and would leave your solar system. The activity on your moon, which you know is a moon, is in mostly on the dark side of the moon in the craters, but there's a few bases on the side that faces the Earth where the Pleiadians have bases and some humans, scientists live in one of those bases, on one of those craters.
Well, interesting, because there's been reports of people who say they've been taken by ETs to the moon and have seen bases there, and that the moon has even traces of an atmosphere. Do you know if that's true?
It has a real thin atmosphere on the dark side of your moon. a very thin atmosphere, but that was artificially created by the Zetis and by the Pleiadians.
Okay.
Your moon is an observatory for visiting E.T. That is, we can sit there and watch the affairs and things going on Earth at a safe distance.
Very, very interesting. All right. Well, let me see. We only have, 5 minutes left before the show ends. I want to make sure I give you a chance to tell our listeners anything that you think is important that they should know and that we haven't talked about yet. You've shared a lot of information already, but I just wondered if there's anything particular you want people to know.
Well, for the most part, I would like to see the people of Earth grow away from war and negativity and become beings of love and light and raise the frequency so they can help grow with the planet and help heal the planet. Because, you see, everything is linked to one. The one is the creative source that creates all life, all planets, all universes and galaxies. The Earth needs your help. The planet needs you to merge with the planet and become as one. Man must learn to live in peace with each other instead of fighting wars, because that will decide the fate of the planet overall, and the fate of whether your civilization continues. People should learn to be more loving and more caring to each other instead of hurting each other. And people must learn to evolve beyond prejudice and intolerances of others, because that also will help ensure the survival of your species. And another thing, you must come out of your conditioning and learn that UFOs and things like that are real and not some product of a new age hallucination. Because there's more to your reality than what you see around you. What you see around you is just a little tiny point of what the overall reality is.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, Commander Sonny, I want to thank you so much. You have a wealth of information, and you're a delight to speak with, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
I have a website out there that they might be interested in checking. I think it's available through Tripod. You type in Sonny Sito, and it should bring up my website.
Okay, so you just have people type in Sonny Sito, that's SannyCeto .tripod.com.
Is that
correct?
You can say that, or you can type in Commander Sonny Sito, and it should bring up my website. I have my art and my other stuff up there.
All right. Well, you heard it first here, listeners. If you want to get some more information about Commander Sonny and all the information that there is, go to the website, sannyceto.tripod.com. That's sannyceto.tripod.com. And there's all sorts of things there for you to look at. Including taking a look at her two books, Stranded on Earth, the story of a Roswell crash survivor, and Zeti Child, Lost Upon a One-Star World. Well, very, very interesting stuff. I want to thank you again, Commander, for coming on to the show. And thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for having me as a guest on your program. I enjoy getting the word out and educating people. And I will leave you with a saying in my native language, Iyana Tekelawa Iohewa, love and light and peace to all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. You have been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. My name is Preston Dennett. I'm your host. And our guest tonight has been Commander Sani Sato, author of two true autobiographical books, Stranded on Earth, The Story of a Roswell Crash Survivor, and Zeti Child, Lost Upon a One-Star World. Learn more about it at the website sanisato.tripod.com, S-A-N-N-I-C-E-T-O. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have, and I want to thank you all for listening, and hope you can join us next week when I bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal on the BBS Network. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.